Jurors in the federal trial of Boston mobster James Whitey Bulger could hear from Bulger himself this week. Prosecutors plan to play recorded phone conversations from Bulger's time in the Plymouth County Jail last year. Jurors are also expected to hear from several former drug dealers who claim Bulger extorted money from them. But first, the defense will resume its cross-examination of a corrupt FBI supervisor who admits taking bribes from Bulger. WBUR's David Boeri is leading our coverage of the trial and joins us here on the radio station this morning. Good morning, David, and good to see you.
Good morning, Bob.
David, as we know, the Bulger case is seen as not just a trial of Whitey Bulger himself, but of the FBI as well. Tell us what the jury has learned so far from former FBI agent John Morris about the FBI.
That there are people there that could be bought for beer, wine, cash, not a lot of cash. That was his story. It is stunning to hear how sordid the tales are that he is telling of fabricating information, of protecting subordinates. He was in awe of John Connally, and he was had. His function for the last two trials and this one is just like in the Scarlet Letter, he is Hester Prynne wearing D for disgraced, and it says a whole lot about the FBI that he was part of.
Surprises in his testimony?
There were several surprises. Remember, he's testified twice before, but what was actually...
In previous trials of other people.
That's right, of John Connally. In this trial, there were two pieces of information that I thought were particularly interesting. First of all, he talks about having dinner with Bulger and Flemmy at their house, completely off the boards, at Flemmy's house next to the Senate President William Bulger, the brother of James Whitey Bulger. While he's there, the Senate president walks in and looks very uncomfortable, Morris testified. Now, the Senate president, Bill Bulger, the former Senate president, had always said he had no idea that his brother was an informant. Here, Morris is talking about the brother of Whitey Bulger walking in, seeing him with his criminal partner and two FBI agents. What could he make of that other than the fact that his brother was an informant? But the second part, I've never heard this in his testimony, and I'm sure it's a new testimony, is that at one point, John Connally wanted to be Boston police commissioner, and he was going to make Morris his number two, and of course the political juice that he had was William Bulger, then the Senate president. If you could imagine John Connally and his number two, the corrupt John Morris, running the Boston Police Department while Bulger already controlled the FBI, it is a very dark thought.
And we should remind our listeners again that John Connally is also a former disgraced FBI agent who's doing time.
That's right, serving a 30-year sentence for second-degree murder in Florida.
Is the testimony that you've heard so far more damaging for Bulger or more damaging for the government?
Well, you certainly heard how damaging it is just now for the government. For Bulger, it is part of the foundation that the government has laid down with 29 witnesses now. Some of the heavy hitters, the heavier witnesses, have not yet shown. The government's made a pretty formidable case so far. They have shown with 700 pages of his informant files that even though Whitey Bulger may not want to think that he was an informant, there's sure a long record, and it strains credulity to think that anybody could make that record up.
If John Morris's testimony is sort of two-sided, damaging Bulger and damaging the government, why bring him forward? Why would the prosecution put him on the stand?
Well, because he can talk about the passing of information that he knows that Connally had, he'll testify Connally had, that led to people being killed. And that, of course, was what Connally was convicted of in Florida in 2008, but that's been the charge, that he tipped the identities of informants to the people he was working for, Bulger and Flemmy, and they killed them. So Morris is potentially a very damaging witness, and he has testified effectively in the past.
Prosecutors say testimony is proceeding faster than expected and expect to complete their presentation by the end of the month. Overall, what's it seem the government has accomplished so far as it lays out this lengthy case against Bulger?
They've provided witnesses, eyewitnesses to murders here that Bulger is accused of. They have put that foundation in, that 700-page report. Bulger has insisted he was an informant. They brought through that file. They've documented that file. Morris even has been talking about his interviews with Bulger himself. And this guy, according to his official files, there is a long, long list of people that Whitey Bulger, according to the files, testified against.
What's the impact so far of the trial on the families of victims who've been waiting so long for this moment, and many of whom are in the courtroom?
We're talking about events in some cases in the 1970s. So here you have Margie King, the widow of Tommy King. She was 30 years old when he was murdered. He didn't come home. His remains were only found in 2000. She's 68 years old now. And then there's Paul McGonigal Jr., who's 15 when his father was murdered. He too disappeared, not to be found until 2000. He was 15 years old when Whitey Bulger pulled a car up to him and said, "Hey, don't worry about we took care of the guy that took care of your father." Allegedly, it was Bulger himself. 15 at the time, he's now 53. You're just stunned in that courtroom about the suspension of time, the suspension of grief and of pain. And here we are all these years later, finally, with some sort of accounting.
We mentioned up top that the jurors are likely to hear from Bulger himself in the way of recorded jailhouse phone conversations. What else should we expect in federal court this week?
We're getting ready for the appearance of Kevin Weeks, a major witness. And before we get to him, we're going to hear from a number of minor witnesses, drug dealers who say they were extorted, physically threatened. There'll be analysts, crime scene analysts this week. They're going to try and get in a number of these witnesses in the next couple of days, and then Weeks sometime early next week.
All right, and a shortened week at that. Testimony today and tomorrow, then they're going to break for the July 4th holiday.
That's right, and Kevin Weeks is right-hand man probably Tuesday.
WBUR's David Boeri, who's covering the trial at federal court and who's blogging every day. Thanks a lot for coming in.
You're welcome, Bob.